Our opening hymn this morning is number 183, verses 1 and 2. Please stand. Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God the Holy Ghost has caused our text this morning to be recorded by King David in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These are your words. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. 23 is perhaps the best known piece of poetry in the world. Maybe even the most well-known piece of literature in world history. King David wrote that psalm in the first person, using the words I and me and my. And yet, right at the beginning, he seems to say something untrue. It says, will not want. And yet, I can immediately think of at least 50 things that I'm wanting right now. I'm wanting a snack. I am wanting bigger muscles. Wanting to be finished with a particular term paper, and 47 more things that I won't list for you now, but I'm sure you can think of your own, probably rather lengthy list of things that you are wanting. But of course, David isn't talking about missing desires in our life, but David is talking about missing needs. And that list is much shorter. Some have suggested that list only includes food, clothing and shelter, companionship, purpose. But even that list, or others like it, is too long. There is really only one thing that we need. You and I need a savior from sin. God said, be holy. But we are not. And that offends God. We have built up a mountain of offense, a landfill of offense. A stinking trash heap of offense a mile high. And we are buried under that trash of offense and reek with the smell of it. God can't stand the smell of us in his presence. And so humankind is desperately trying to wash that stink off itself. And we too are trying to find our own places of rest in this world. We might try to be zen, looking inside ourselves for peace and tranquility in this world. Or we might try to create that peace and tranquility around us with decluttering and organization. Maybe we try to escape it for a while with a stress-free retreat or vacation. Or we try to block it out with drugs and alcohol. Or we just try to distract ourselves from the mess of this world with TV and video games and sports and shopping. But all of these things are still in the landfill of this world. All we can do is something that the city of Virginia Beach, Virginia did with their trash. Along the main highway, the interstate that goes right through the center of the city, there's a big park, and in that park is a large hill, 6 or 7 stories tall, bigger even than Old Main. And people run up and down the steps and up the slopes for exercise. Kids are always flying kites at the top of it. There's a beautiful view of the city from the top of that hill. The name of that hill in that park is Mount Trashmore. It even says it in big landscape letters on the side of the hill that faces the highway. Mount Trashmore is a landfill that's been covered over and turned green. And that's the best that we can try to do with the trash in our lives. Cover it over and try to put a little green on top. While Psalm 23 says that Jesus wants to lead us to rest in green pastures, it's not on the slopes of Mount Trashmore that we will find that rest. That's not what Jesus has in mind. There's only one way for us to get out of the landfill, which is what we really need. There's only one way, and that is to be washed clean of the stink that sticks to us. St. John says, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. The blood that poured out from the side of Jesus on the cross is more powerful than that stinky trash. It covers over all of it. God the Father breathed in with delight the sweet-smelling aroma of the sacrificial blood of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. God the Father was satisfied with that payment, and Easter morning declared publicly that he was satisfied when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus is risen indeed, and we are no longer sloshing through the muck of our sin. And now Jesus himself prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies, in the face of the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh. It is at that table where our rest and peace is to be found, and it is at that table where our strength for the journey is found. In the Lord's Supper, Jesus gives us the very body and blood that were sacrificed on the cross to pay for your sins in the first place. You know that you are forgiven because Jesus comes to you personally with his body and blood in the bread and wine. The very same blood that washed you clean from the stink of your sin now waters green pastures, even on the hard-packed and hostile roads that you will travel in this life. We heard about such a hostile road a few weeks ago in chapel. We heard about the Israelites crossing the Red Sea in their exodus from Egypt with the pursuing Egyptian army at their backs. We heard about how the waters of the Red Sea piled up on the right and on the left, stretching so high as to almost block out the sky. And yet, through that valley of deep darkness in which the Israelites walked, they did not need to fear. The pillar of cloud that was the Lord's presence had moved to behind them to act as their rear guard, to follow them through the Red Sea and to keep back and protect them from the Egyptian army. The Israelites crossed over through the waters from the side of death to the side of life. And in the waters of your baptism, you cross over to the side of life too. And when you walk through valleys of deep darkness today, God's goodness and mercy will pursue you too. Did say anything untrue in the words of Psalm 23? Of course not. You can say, Jesus is my good shepherd. I am not in want right now. Dear Christian friends, with Jesus as your shepherd, you do not lack the one thing needful, and you do not need to fear. You have crossed over from death to life, and you will return to live in the Lord's house forever. There is one thing needful, and you have it. Be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Please stand and pray. Our Father in heaven, lead us not into temptation, but into your green pastures. Pursue us with your grace and mercy to deliver us from evil. Turn, please, to page 155 in the front of your hymnary. And we will all pray together, prayer number 67 on the right side of that page. Father, out of your fatherly goodness, you have been mindful of us, poor, miserable sinners, and have given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. We beseech you, grant us your Holy Spirit, that even as this shepherd knows us and helps us in every affliction, we also may know him, and trusting in him, seek help and comfort in him. From our hearts obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same, your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.